Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our worship service again this evening. We are beginning our next session of our Lenten series that will eventually be leading up to Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. The theme for our series is Faces in the Crowd. And tonight our narrative takes us first to the first word from the cross, emphasizing they know not what they're doing. So tonight I also welcome those to our worship that are out in the parking lot or even from their homes and wish you all of God's greatest blessings. Let's begin our worship service tonight in the blessing, the promise, and the covenant that God has made with us in baptism, which He has given us His holy name, that we might bear His name as His children on earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll continue now with the singing of our first hymn, Lord, Have Mercy.
Done and
now continue with our confession of sins before a holy, righteous, merciful, kind, and accepting God and Father. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you that of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I announce unto you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Passion narrative begins and continues. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." The face of wounds come in many shapes and sizes. Our narrative tonight begins with a crowd standing and gazing upon the Nazarene. He was hanging, suspended between beams of lumber. Here he was, as the one who claimed to be the Messiah of God. Before this event is over, his claim would be fulfilled, verified in the course of a single day, and all accomplished within 6 hours on a Friday. To the casual observer, it was a normal Friday. 6 hours of routine, 6 hours of the expected, 6 hours filled with the mystery of life. A day busy with activity, of people going to and from Jerusalem, going to sacrifice lambs on the temple's altar. Then there were those celebrations, full of sounds of the bleating of goats and the selling of birds, endless observances, and the people relish the festivities. They awaken early and they retire late. One wonders, what kind of God would be appeased by the death of an animal? It isn't the slaughter of animals that would disturb the people. It was the endlessness of it all. How many years have people come and go? How many pilgrimages? How many sacrifices? How many bloody carcasses? And as people reflected upon their many mistakes and the many stumbles with the shame and guilt of life itself, God seemed so far away. Lamb after lamb, Passover after Passover, yet the people still felt the same. One wonders if the blood of yet another lamb will really matter at all. A dialogue began that Friday. It was in the morning, and it was bitter. From the onlookers, they would yell at him, "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." From the religious leaders, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." And from the soldiers, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Bitter words, hateful discussions. Wasn't it enough that he was being crucified? Wasn't it enough that he was being shamed as a criminal? Were the nails insufficient? Was the crown of thorns too soft? Had the flogging been too short? For some, apparently so. Peter, a writer not normally given to using of many descriptive verbs, says this in his epistle about the passerbys hurling insults at the crucified Christ. They didn't just yell, shout, or scream. They hurled verbal stones at him. They had every intention of hurting and bruising him, as if to say, "We've already broken his body, let's now destroy his spirit." Of all the scenes around the cross, this one angers most people. We wonder what kind of people would mock a dying man. How long do people go to sneer at one strapped with pain? We sense that Satan and his demons were very much active and was the cause of the mob jeering him. And then there was the criminal also on the cross who made a demand of him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." The words thrown that day were meant to wound. And there is nothing more painful than words that are meant to hurt. Words that cut a wound so deep, causing injuries that become internal, creating broken hearts, wounded prides, and bruised feelings. Listen now to these words from Peter. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Do we notice what Jesus did? He left the judging of others to God. He did not seek revenge. He did not demand an apology. Rather, he spoke on their defense. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Yes, the dialogue that Friday morning was bitter. The verbal stones were meant to sting and to crush. How Jesus, with a body racked with pain, eyes blinded by his own blood, and his lungs yearning for fresh air, could speak on behalf of a heartless mob is beyond all comprehension. Never has mankind seen such love. And for this, he died for them. In Christ, we too now realize that what good is it? What good has hatred ever brought in our lives? What hope has anger ever created? What problems have ever been resolved through revenge? And here we hear Jesus speaking about the crowd that was about to kill him. Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. Have we ever wondered how Jesus kept from retaliating, or how he kept in control? His answer is in his word. They know not what they're doing. It's as if Jesus considered this bloody, thirsty death and the angry crowds around him not as murderers, but as victims. It's as if he saw in their faces not hatred, but confusion. It's as if he regarded this unruly mob as mere sheep without a shepherd. They do not know what they're doing. They had not the faintest idea what they were doing. They were mad and they were rebellious. Mad about something they could not see, so they took it out on, of all people, on God Himself. They didn't even know what they were doing. And at times, neither do we. At times, we also act like shepherdless sheep. We who were born out of one eternity and are frighteningly close to entering another one, we have no idea what we're doing. We play tag with the realities of death and pain. We can't answer our own questions about love and hurt. We can't even solve the riddle of aging. We don't know how to heal our own bodies in decay. We can't even keep ourselves out of war and destruction. And we can't even keep ourselves fed on the earth's nourishments. The Apostle Paul spoke for all humanity when he confessed this in Romans chapter 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not. But what I hate doing is the very thing that I do. Oh, miserable man that I am. It is then that we look at the Messiah upon the cross, a teacher whose claim altered the world and whose promise has never been equaled in all of history. It was on that Friday, a day when the kingdom of death was repossessed and the gospel of grace became the death slayer. Look back at the cross. We still observe those witnesses around him, perhaps those doing some dice throwing at the foot of the cross, those soldiers huddled in a circle, their eyes turned downward with the Christ above them has all but been forgotten. They gamble for some used clothing, a tunic, a cloak, some sandals, all up for grabs. Each soldier lays his luck of the dice on the hard earth. One wonders what this must have looked like from Jesus' perspective. As he looked downward past his bloody feet to the circle of gamblers, here are common soldiers witnessing the world's most uncommon event, and they don't even know it. Casting lots for the sole possessions of Christ, they found themselves so close to the timber and yet so far from the Savior. All the while, and yet while, these men of the earth were shooting craps for worldly possessions, the one hanging above them was the Redeemer, redeeming back his world for all eternity. To God be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now may the grace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now continue with speaking together our common Christian faith that we have of the true and living God in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll continue now with the singing of our next hymn.
Thank you.
On many occasions, the disciples had opportunities to observe Jesus praying to his Father. Whether it was in the wilderness, up in a mountain, on the hills, or in the plateaus, they always stood at a distance and watched him as his face turned toward the heavens and spoke to God as though he was his dearest friend. On one occasion, after Jesus spoke to many multitudes of people, and parts of it had to deal with prayer, merely talking with God, the disciples came up to him and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And with that, he gave them and us these words: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." We continue now the singing of our next hymn. Let us pray. Lord, bring us close to your cross that we might know how you loved us and gave yourself for us. We would keep Lent, Lord, in a way that is pleasing to you as we follow you from the garden to Calvary's cross. Do not let us follow too afar off, lest we deny you. Help us watch and pray that we may not fall into temptation. Lord, you are the Holy One, and you were judged as a criminal by unholy men for us, that you suffered the whiplashes of angry sinners as our sinless Savior, that you stumbled under the cross as our suffering servant, that you died as the Lamb of God in our stead and for our sake. Lord Jesus, through it all, help us hear in your prayer the single purpose for which you endured pain and death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each and every one of you today, tonight, tomorrow, and forever in eternity's kingdom. Amen. We now conclude our service this evening by singing our closing hymn, Go My Children with My Blessing. Thank you all for worshiping with us this evening, and we hope and pray that we'll see each other again on Sunday and next Wednesday night for the next face in the crowd, in which we will be unpacking for some very interesting insights. So I thank you all for worshiping with us this evening. Be safe during these difficult times, and God bless you all. Amen.